In your bulletin, you'll see our final hymn, Created Me a Clean Heart, is there. Also, there's this welcome yellow slip to fill out. If you have a prayer request, put it on there and join us Wednesday night to pray for these things. There's also the bulletin insert of the sermon outline in Philippians 4 that we're going to look at in just a momento. And you can have that and look in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to go there in just a minute. But the other thing in your bulletin is this church around the world insert. And if you look and open it up, you see a little map in there. And with all these different numbers. And I want to us to think about what's going on in the world today, because we, as you all know, are in some difficult times for Christians. On that map, number 2 relates to the little article about Pope Francis, who had a speaking video that was shown in Northern Iraq, where there are more than 100,000 Christians that have fled their homes from ISIS, Christians from Mosul, 100,000. Number 3 on the map relates to China, and in the Guangdong province, the Chinese have come in and seized the meetings Christians, and forcing them to attend what they call a government-sanctioned church rather than meeting freely. Number 4 on the map is the African country of Nigeria, where there are thousands of church members who have been killed and abducted by the terrorist Islamic organization there in Nigeria. Number 7 on the map relates to Pakistan. A little article on the very back of this insert. Increased vigilante violence is against Christians in Pakistan. So not only do we have ISIS in the Middle East, we have situations in Africa and in Asia where our brothers and sisters are facing persecution, are facing murder, are facing imprisonment if they stand for Jesus Christ and seek to meet together as Christians. And we can pray for them. We can pray. One thing is for God to give these brothers and sisters peace. And in Philippians 4, it talks about the kind of peace that they need with the threats all around them. And let's go back there, Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to read these verses because Paul himself, when he wrote these verses, was in prison. His life was on the line. He was about to face a trial in which he could be executed, and God gave him a peace to go through those things that our brothers and sisters need today, and we need too at times as we deal with things that maybe are not as dramatic, but they do at times make us feel like we're about to fall into pieces rather than having the peace of God. Let's look at Paul's words here. And why don't we stand together and we read God's word this morning in Philippians chapter 4. And I'll begin with verse 4 and we'll go through verse 9 and we'll study the last two verses together this morning. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's the promise, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, these things, the things you learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray for a moment. Father, thank you that in days of anxiety, you remind us of these words, and you give us the keys to having peace. Peace with you, peace with others, peace in our own hearts, because, Lord, you, the God of peace, want to be with us in a special way. We do pray, God, for our brothers and sisters around the world today that are in persecution, that are standing for you, God, that you would calm their anxieties, that you would give them peace, that you would give them courage and boldness to stand for you. And God, we thank you that in all these places, there are literally thousands of people who are turning to you because they see that you indeed provide peace. We praise you for that. We praise you that you died, that people might have eternal life through simple faith in you. May we understand that even better today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's be seated. I'll stand up, though. In Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, we find that God's present peace comes through pure thinking and humble living. God's present peace for us comes through pure thinking, and we could also put it this way, praise-filled living. Peace comes from purity and praise. And first of all, Paul here directs the readers to think purely. He comes to a new point here. Verse 8, he has the word finally. And again, this doesn't mean it's the final thing he's going to talk about. He's got much more to say in the rest of this chapter. Remember in chapter 3, verse 1, he said finally. And now, you know, he's saying final again. Maybe a better translation would be now on to the next point. That's kind of what he's talking about here. He's just been talking about our minds being filled with anxiety and the way to kind of filter those anxieties out is to bring each of those concerns to God in prayer with thanksgiving. And as we do that, we turn from anxious minds to minds that have peace. But the key is those, you know, 100 praise the Lord's for everything that comes, giving thanks to God, finding ways to thank God for what he's allowed to come into our life, because he wants to use it to develop our character, for one thing. And now we see the next point that he's going to make here is related to our minds. At the very end of verse 8, the last four words, it says, dwell on these things. Literally, it means to ponder. It's a mathematical term, this word, dwell. We're to let our minds think through things, just like we might when we're, you know, trying to figure out if we have enough money to pay for the groceries, and we're calculating all the different costs and things and our income, and we're pondering that through. God wants our minds to ponder, to be, in a sense, preoccupied with certain things. So we're going to make a list of 8 things here that our minds are to focus on and to ponder and to contemplate and to meditate. And God says that if our minds are there, rather than all our things we could be anxious about, he'll give us a peace that guards our hearts and our minds. So what are those things that we are to be thinking about? There's 8 different things that are in kind of bold in your notes in front of you and are in verse 8. And let me just say that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We become what we think. And so it's very important for us to look at these things that we're to really discipline our minds to think about, because they will affect our lifestyle. First of all, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true. We're to think upon things that are real.
Today we have a lot of reality shows that aren't really reality. They're all rigged, as far as I'm concerned. You know, you can tell it's all been planned out and so forth ahead of time. What we're to think about is on what is truly real. Not gossip, secondhand, thirdhand gossip, but we're to focus on the truth, the genuine, the realities that God has for us. That's what we're to consider. One thing that is very real and true is that we have different people in our lives, and we have different challenges with that, and we need to recognize those things as true. Another thing that is wonderfully true, and is mentioned a couple times in the New Testament as this is the truth of God, is that we can be right with God simply through believing in Jesus Christ. A lot of people put out false things that are not genuine, that you have to do this work and you have to do that work in order to be saved, in order to go to heaven, to have eternal life. And God says, no, all you have to do is believe that Jesus did all the work for you, and that through faith in him, you can be declared forgiven. You can be seen as pure in God's sight if you simply believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins and rose again. Whoever believes in him will have eternal life. If we confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. That's a wonderful truth to think about. God's word is filled with truth. Another truth is the fact that Christians are going to suffer. Persecution is a reality. First Peter is filled with this truth to suffering Christians, and we need to recognize that. In 1 Peter 4:19, it says, therefore also we who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust our souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Now, the other thing, besides having our minds focus on what's true rather than on the soap operas and on non-reality, we're to think about that which is honorable. Does it inspire a sense of respect, a sense of awe? When we went to visit the Pierce Gorge, you know, there's a bit of awe, there's a bit of respect for that. I decided, and especially after talking to people, that it's probably good not to take an inner tube and go down through that particular part of Menominee River on my own. There's a healthy respect that I'm seeing is needed for that. And there are things that we need to have come into our mind that we have respect for, that put us in awe. Not only creation, but here's something that several of you did yesterday. You went to a funeral. And we need to remember the families. Moore, is that their last name? Remember them. You know, in Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 2, it says this, it is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, because that is the end of every man, and the living takes it to heart. When you go to a funeral, it forces your mind to think on those things that are true and those things that need to be respected. One of those is the fact that we're going to die. And going to a place of mourning, to a funeral, helps us to think seriously about our life. And that any one of us could be taken quickly. And are we ready? Have we lived faithfully to God? Are we ready to enter into eternity through knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior? And it also helps us to think, you know, what are people going to say at my funeral? Are they going to have anything good to say? It's a very good thing for our minds to think on what's respectful, what's honorable, to think on the fact that life is short. Another thing we're to think about is what is right. The word is in some translations, what is just? What's fair? What is of God's standards? Obviously, ISIS is not acting justly and not acting fairly. But it's interesting, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1:6, for after all, it is only just or fair for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you. Praise the Lord that he knows that Christians are being persecuted today and that he is getting ready to deal justly, fairly, to afflict those who afflict his people. And one day he's coming back and he's going to set things straight. And we're to think on those kind of things, that we have a God who's just, who's going to bring justice. It's interesting that the Bible says that for one to be an elder in the church, they need to have the characteristic of being a just person. When one of our elders is distributing the benevolent fund to those in our community that are in need and in our congregation, they need to be fair in giving that out. They need to have justice. And, you know, all of us are to think not only about what is right and just, but we're to live up who judge people, who deal with our children in a right and just way. Here's a verse for all the kids here in Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is just. That kind of doing what's right is what we're to be thinking about. In Micah 6:8, this is one of my favorite verses. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. God wants us to be thinking upon what things are fair and just, and let our mind dwell on those things. Also, not only that which is honorable and right, but what is pure. Think on those things. Let your mind dwell and ponder on those things that are pure. And of all these 8 different things that we're to let our mind ponder upon, the one that probably I desire that we really grasp and the Holy Spirit speak to us about today is thinking on that which is pure, which is clean, which is uncontaminated. If you get some water from the Norway spring, you want it to be fresh and pure and clean, having nothing contaminated in it. And God wants our minds, as he sees our minds and what we reflect upon, to be clear, and that we're to have pure thoughts and pure hearts. It's very, very important that we have that, because what we think about is what we become doing. And what we are doing becomes habit. And pretty soon that becomes who we are. So it's very important that we think on those things that are pure. Our relationships with one another need to be pure in intention. And in our minds, we need to get our minds sometimes out of the gutter and onto what is good. Even some of the jokes we listen to, are they pure? I had a wrestling coach in high school, Joe, who also taught a history. And the wrestling coach, he would ask us after a lecture, he would say, okay, you have any questions, comments, or clean jokes? And our logging community, not too many clean jokes that the guys have, but our minds are to think on that which is pure. The sitcom situations, the innuendos that are on many television things today, they are not pure. The Bible encourages women to be self-controlled and pure, to have a behavior that is chaste, pure, respectful. Men, 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee or run from youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. It was very interesting that after we'd first been here in October, and we went back to the D.C. area and got off the plane and breathed the air and go, there's something wrong with this air here. It tastes dirty. There's something wrong with it. And we go, we've been living here in the D.C. area for 12 years, and we never recognize how filthy it is. But we just come from this pure, fresh Michigan air and gone into that, and we said, wow, this air is contaminated. And you know, sometimes we get used to filth and we don't recognize what we're seeing is filthy, that we're thinking about things that are impure. And God wants us to have pure hearts, pure minds, because it will affect our actions. It will give us that peace that passeth understanding if we're thinking upon that which is pure. Because that which is impure, if we allow our minds to go there, we can be addicted to what is impure. Speaking of Washington, D.C., the Washington Times in August 2014 put out some information from a Barna Group study showing that 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women admitted to viewing pornography at least once a month, compared to 65% of men and 30% of women who identified as non-Christians. Of the Christian men, and that's 64%, who did look at pornography, the majority did so several times a week. And that is addiction. And it is a very real addiction. And when I look at the statistics, you know, there's probably folks here today that are struggling, that might be addicted to looking at the pornography on the internet, or reading pornographic material, or looking at magazines. Men and women can get addicted their minds to that which is impure. Jesus said, I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. God wants us to have pure minds. He wants our minds to be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And if you're struggling, if you're fighting the temptation related to impure thoughts, please don't fight on your own. Only do you need God's help, the Holy Spirit. Only do you need a saving relationship with Christ, but you probably need somebody else to come alongside you, someone of the same gender to help you. And there's folks that have struggled through that and have found that God can give victory. One website, I put this in the notes there that were in the bulletin, in the outline, is from Family Life. And if you just Google Family Life Pornography Escape, there's some great resources there and steps to help if you're struggling with an impure mind. David said, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening our eyes. I remember when I had a filthy mouth, a year later, some after I had been reading the Bible just a little bit every day, a guy came to me and said, "Rich, you're not swearing anymore." And I go, "What?" I thought, wow. That year where I had been reading the Bible for the first time in my life, a little bit every day, had cured the filthy mouth. I was amazed. How will a young man keep his way pure? David asks. The answer is by keeping it according to thy word. With thy whole, my whole heart I have sought thee, David says. Let me not wander from your commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So impurity is a real thing, and God wants our minds to think on those things that are pure. And that comes by getting our minds through discipline off of the garbage and onto what's good. And sometimes we just need to get rid of things, to clean house, to do our own, you know, monitoring of our websites, etc. This is something we struggle with and we need to take seriously. And if you need help, I'd be glad to help and encourage and pray with you. God wants us to be pure people, to be unhypocritical. It can ruin your marriage. It's vital. It's serious. It can ruin your kids. And I'm just thinking of people I know who struggled with this and what it's done. And I also know that God wants to free you if you have an addiction to impurity. God wants you to think on what's beautiful. The next thing he says is to think on that which is lovely. You think of flowers. You think of beauty around us, art, literature. It can be lovely, and God wants our minds to be on that which is lovely. The word is used in the book of Esther. When Esther gets the courage to come to the king and she shows up there in his throne room and she's at the entrance and he looks and he takes pleasure on Esther. He is pleased with what his mind sees. That's what's lovely. And as I thought about that, it kind of helped me to understand what it means to think on what's lovely. And that is this. What thoughts do you know God would approve of in his courtroom? If you're thinking certain things and you've come into heaven before the throne room of God, would those thoughts be pleasing to our God? If they are, keep thinking that way. If not, think on those things which are lovely. We're not to be friends of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. But we are to be friends with God and think God thoughts. Think of things that he would approve. David also said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Think on that which is pure, which is lovely. And the other thing here is of good repute. What does that mean? Good repute. It means news that's worth repeating. Sometimes we may get some negative news, some secondhand gossip that's not worth repeating. But God wants us to think about things that are worth sharing with other things, people. We're to let no unwholesome word proceed from our mouth, Ephesians 4:29, but only such as a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear. In Titus 2:6-8, let likewise urge the young men to be sound in speech, that the words we say are good words, that we share on positive things of what God wants communicated, some good news. A lot of the news we watch is bad news, isn't it? Discouraging. God wants us to pass on some wholesome, some good things with one another. The seventh thing, think about what is excellent. Does it rise above the ordinary? And the term here was used in Greek literature with the idea of military valor, seen as something that was excellent, the courage of one person giving their life for another thing. Those are the kind of things that are outstanding. Those are things that are excellent. Those are things that should be mentioned and repeated. We're to think noble thoughts, not base thoughts. We're to add to our faith moral excellence, it says in 2 Peter. And then finally, this is the real finally on this list of words here. If there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Is it commendable? Paul said to the people of Corinth, he said to them, I commend you that you're keeping the traditions, but I do not commend you that you're squabbling with one another. And then he wrote to them again and said, oh, I commend you that you have got, you're getting ready for a collection to help with the famine relief. And then he commends the people in Macedonia, that's the Philippians, that they have well beforehand gotten ready to help those in need. That was a commendable thing. About a month ago, we talked about this Katie, gal from what, New Jersey, that goes to Liberia and helps with the Ebola patients there and orphans, and has a little orphanage going, and God is really using her, and what she's doing is commendable. And Paul is simply saying that's the kind of things to be thinking about, things that are commendable to others. Now, the key, number one, to have peace is to think on pure things. The second thing is to practice praise. And that's verse 9. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. I was trying to think, what is he talking about here? And he's talking about things, you know, that he's obviously handed over to the Philippians and taught them, and they've taken them as their own. They've received them. But there are also things that they observed in Paul. They heard Paul doing this. They saw Paul doing this while he was at Philippi. I'm trying to think, what is it that he wants them to practice? And so the only passage I know of that deals with Paul being at Philippi that he's writing this letter to is in Acts 16. And here's what Paul did. And yes, this makes a whole lot of sense. If we can practice this, we're going to have the peace of God that Paul had right when he was in Philippi. In Acts chapter 16, it mentions that after Paul and Silas had cast out these demons from this lady, that the owner of the woman who had been exorcised, they were upset because they weren't going to make money from her anymore. And so they had Paul and Silas beaten with rods. And then they were thrown into prison. And Paul didn't fight back. He did. He had that gentle spirit. And the Philippians saw that. And then it says about midnight, while Paul and Silas are in these stocks that are cramping their legs and their backs are bruised and bleeding, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Last week, what are we to do when we have anxieties? We're to pray, to take them to God. Lord, help. I got this problem. Cast our cares on him and he cares for us. And what else were they doing? They were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. They were praying with thanksgiving. These guys in tremendous torment, being treated unjustly, persecuted because of their faith in Christ and their actions, they were singing and praising God in the prison. And the people heard them. And after it was all over, the jailer says, what must I do to have what you have? What must I do to be saved from my sin? to be forgiven and have eternal life. And Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Paul now says in Philippians, what you learned, what you received, what you heard and saw in me, practice it, and the God of peace will be with you. And so when we have affliction, oh, let's be like Paul. Not fight back, but ask God to give us that gentle spirit because he's with us. And then instead of letting our minds be all filled with the problems and tensions and anxieties, take them to God in prayer and then begin to thank God that you had the opportunity to serve him. You have the opportunity to suffer for him. You have the opportunity to see him give you power and help and grace through this. And you begin to praise God, and God will give you a peace that will cause people to say, wow, I want that too. How can I have that? How can I have Jesus like you have Jesus? And that will give us an opportunity then to say, hey, just believe in Christ. Let him come into your life, and he can give you peace. What is interesting in reading through that little insert in our bulletin, the church around the world, is that I think the first article talks about the fact that there are many, many Muslims, thousands of Muslims today, who have not had peace in their lives and are seeing Christians having peace and having a relationship, a friendly relationship with God, which they don't have in Islam. God is to be feared. He's distant. But they're seeing Christians who have peace and who have the presence of God in their life, and thousands upon Christians are coming to know Jesus Christ today in the midst of all these persecutions because God is showing his peace to people who simply pray, simply give praise, and live purely before him. That is our challenge today. And the God of peace will be with you. I've got a prayer. And if you were here for Sunday school this morning, you looked at this. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 is God's prayer for us as a congregation here in the Upper Peninsula. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Think pure thoughts. Give praise to God in your afflictions, and he'll give you peace. And I do encourage you, if you don't know Christ, if you want to live a pure thought life and you're struggling with that, please talk to me. I'd love to help you with that. And we're going to come and just from our hearts take the things that we've learned and ask God to help us to apply his word.